Blog Talk Radio.
93.3 FM is on. This is the Thursday night and the Sunday night flight. Hey, I'm the Floss Child, Mr. Boots Rothschild, the East Coast player, you dig? And you tuned in to the Thursday night and the Sunday night flight with OG Sweet Cadillac.
Oh, yeah.
Uh-huh.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. You know, Sweet go way, way back in here. Playing records straight out the crate.
Oh, yeah.
You probably ain't heard them in such a long time. You got to keep tuning in, baby. Give us a call at 347-308-8747. You know, that's Vlog Talk Radio, baby. We're worldwide. Huh? Can you dig that? See, dig this. And you know we miss you when you don't tune in. Without a doubt. Number again in case you missed it, baby. 347-308-8747.
Oh, yeah.
See, that's so smooth, Tweet.
Oh, yeah.
And of course, you know, it can only be done by the one and the only OG Tweet.
Oh, yeah.
Cadillac.
Oh, yeah.
Now you stay tuned, cause in Super 2, we getting ready to give it to you, baby. Uh-huh. 93. Sweet.
He is I, and I am him. You are tuned in to the Thursday Night Flight. 93.3 FM, y'all. I am your host, the original Los Angeles Beat Spitter, the party rocking player, Tweet Cadillac, baby. 347-308-8747. Call in with your comments, dedications, and donations.
I'm stronger than a locomotive. Yeah. That old saying is true. But I can't understand sometimes, baby, why I'm so weak for you. Listen, I can leap tall buildings in a single bound. When it comes to getting over you, baby, well, I can't get off the ground. But they call me the Superman lover, yeah. Say they call me the Superman lover, yeah. But something wrong with me to see. Something wrong, yeah, yes it is. Faster than a speeding bullet. About flying off the floor sometimes, baby. I can't keep up with you. I got X-ray vision, and I can see through steel too, baby. I know it's something wrong with me, huh. 'Cause I can't see through you. They call me the Superman lover, yeah. Call me that Superman lover, yeah. But something wrong, 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 wrong. Something wrong with me, see. Yes, it is. Look, look up in the sky. Come on, look, look. You'll see me flying by. Why don't you just look, look And if you do, come on and look,
look.
I'm flying straight to you. They call me Superman lover. They call me the Superman lover. Yeah. But something wrong. Something is wrong with me. Rat on with the rat on here.
Tune in at 93.3 FM. I am for the people. I am with the people. So tell your people. Don't get no smoother than this, y'all. I did not picture me rolling. Find another station coming like this, let me know so I can tune in. Mr. Jerry Heller will be live on the premises talking about his book, his reality show, his claim to fame in the music industry. Everything music related. Tonight's show is brought to you by I Am Indy. Call in a Thursday night flight. Low rider oldies, R&D, and all in between.
Say nothing. You'll never be nothing. And there's a sucker born every minute. Yo, quick. Kick that shit.
Right, 3.3 FM is a. Remember, y'all, nothing will work unless you do. The day you stop trying is the day you start dying. And I'm rolling like Nolan and the car ain't stolen. So if you're hating on me, you need to keep on practicing, sucker. You can't stop a high-speed soul train.
Here comes another penthouse player. Stepping on toes, tweed Cadillac out for the money. Fade up my skinhead, brother.
93.3 FM Plaza.
Fire up this funk and let's have a toast. It'll make you dance with some of everything.
We'll
93.3 Tweed FM.
You're listening to 93.3 Tweed FM. It's I Am AMG, and chicks still better have my money. I'm tuned into the Thursday Night Flight with Tweed Cadillac. Lowrider oldies, R&B, and all in between. The only station playing me, AMG, and The Temptations.
Thank you, sir. The only station playing Lowrider oldies, R&B, and all in between. Y'all on a Thursday Night Flight after 6 seconds. 93.3 FM, 347, 308, 8747.
The hits, they keep it tight. We swagged out in the old school caddy, ragged out, popping the iPod, turned up the block and smashed out. I'm listening to the music that make my Lolo move. Front to back, side to side, through with motion so smooth. Up the street, banging the beat, Tweed bringing the heat. No other radio.com can compete. Number one funkadelic temptation station, broadcasting all across the nation. The number one funkadelic temptation station, broadcasting all across the nation.
call me up, 347-308-747. Steve Arrington coming, y'all. Followed by Dina Howard. Followed by Chico DeBarge. Followed by Foster Silvers. Followed by Stephanie Mills. If I keep on going, it's going to look like I'm bragging, baby. 93.3 FM. Don't touch that knob. It's my day job.
Shuttle Gang rap.
Yeah, and it's Fresh Knox. We the Shuttle Gang. And right now, we up in here coolin' with the big homie Tweed Cadillac on 93.2 FM, ISM.
You know how Tweed rocks, the party rockin' player. Go check Shuttle Gang out to know more about us at highqualityrecords.com. And you can follow me on Twitter at RaRaTrainToGo.
And follow me, man, at Fresh Knox at Fresh Knox.
I'm good, baby.
Follow me at OG.
It's the one and only Sham Rocker. L.I.G.'s up, lyrically intensified gang. And right now I got you tuned into 93.3 on your FM ism. The only station playing the funkadelic with the temptation. You dig?
Shazam! 93.3, baby, that's the ism. OG from the West Coast, I'm riding with him. Penthouse player, B-Gang
spitter. Straight Los Angeles, home of the scandalous. I'll be right back in a minute, let me handle this. Radio drop, Sham Rockets with the business. Working, focus, new west coasting. Back it on up, drop it low, go ahead and work that. You hard booty, cause you's a cutie. And it's you I'm choosing, keep it G steady moving. It's like a jungle sometimes, it makes me wonder how I keep from going under. In fact, I'm on top and no, it won't stop. We're heated, that beat knock. We fall off, I think not. It's on at 9 o'clock. I'm posted up at the spot with a photo. Listening to blogtalkradio.com. In the ears, you know what the really is. 93.2 Cadillac, baby.
93.2 on your FM is
Cadillac, baby.
93.2 on your FM is
Cadillac, baby.
93.3 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 on your FM is
Cadillac, baby.
93.3
and I am here. Thursday night flight, y'all. After six, cruise mix. Keep it flashy, classy, and jazzy over here, man. Find another station coming like me. Please let me know so I can tune in. Tonight's broadcast is brought to you by I Am Indy. In conjunction with Spillier's T-shirts, ice cream, and chicken wings.
Looking for the good stuff.
Love.
Mr. Jerry Heller is in the building. Good evening, sir. How are you today?
Hey, Tweed. Been a long time, man. How you doing?
I'm doing swell, man, as far as I can tell. I'm just willing and dealing, trying to keep from stealing. It's good to hear your voice, sir.
You too.
For all the listeners out there, me and this man, we go back 20-plus years. I can say that I met a lot of people along the way in my life and in my music career that I don't even talk to that I met 20 years. So it's an honor, sir, to have you here tonight on 93.3 Tweed. You could have been anywhere else, as they say, but you're right here with me. I really appreciate you, sir.
Yeah, it's my pleasure, man. It's been a long time. We're old friends.
Indeed. We want to clear up a lot of things. We want to talk about a lot of things. Tonight's show, it won't be controversial. It's going to be completely real. So I ask all the callers, as in this show, as in all shows, please be respectable. If you disrespect my guests, I feel like you're disrespecting me. But anyway, let's move on. That's my little disclaimer there. But anyway, Mr. Heller, you're a very instrumental person in the business of music. Everybody just knows you from Ruthless Records, those that just know of the hip-hop community. But you were very instrumental in all facets of music, which I found to be very, very interesting. For example, a lot of people, you might not know that Jerry Heller was responsible for bringing Elton John to America. Do you know how big that is? Elton John became to be Elton John, but did you also know that he represented Marvin Gaye, Ike and Tina? I mean, just the list goes on. You've been instrumental. Everybody just really focuses on the Ruthless side of things. But this man is a very controversial figure. He's very intelligent. He's multifaceted. Mr. Heller, why don't you tell him about your book, Ruthless?
Well, in about 2005, I decided that I thought that Easy really hadn't gotten the respect and that I thought that he was due at that time. And I wrote this book called Ruthless basically to do two things. Number one, to establish his legacy forever. And number two, to clear up some of the misunderstandings about Easy and I and Ruthless Records and you know, just sort of an ego thing to help clear up my own reputation also.
Exactly, because I've heard so many foul comments in regards to you, and I kind of took it personal because you and I personally never done anything but show me love. Easy never done anything to me but show me love. If it wasn't for you two gentlemen, you guys made me world famous, so... Basically, you branded us, me and myself, Claire Ham, to become the Penthouse Players, and we're forever grateful of that opportunity. And I don't understand how people can bash with all these conspiracy theories and things of that nature, but basically, we're not going to focus on nothing negative tonight. I want to get deeper into that book.
Okay.
Why don't you read or tell me a passage out of that book that people had kind of misconstrued, and you can clear the air right now?
Well, I think what really sums the book up in itself is in the very beginning where it says, you are about to witness the strength of street knowledge. And I think that's what Ruthless the book was all about. Two of the misconceptions that I really wanted to clear up was one was that the circumstances around Ice Cube leaving NWA, and then later on about a gentleman that's gone on to be certainly the most important figure of the entire rap era. And his name is Andre Rommel Young, and of course Andre not only produced World Class Wrecking Crew, And then the girl that sang on Turn Out the Lights, Michelet, NWA, DOC. He did his own Chronic Records, 50 Cent, Eminem, The Game, Kendrick Lamar. I mean, here's a guy that's the most important figure of the entire rap era. And he came out of NWA. But there were some, you know, misconceptions about why he left the group. And I wanted to clear those up also. And in the book, in some of the last couple of chapters, I issued challenges to both O'Shea and to Dr. Dre to prove some of the things that they had said about Easy and myself, which, of course, those challenges were never answered. So I felt good about it. I felt that I helped to establish Easy's legacy. I mean, he not only was my good friend, I mean, he was like my flesh and blood son. I mean, here's two guys that couldn't have been more opposite. I was tall, he was short. I was white, he was black. You know, I mean, I was from Cleveland. In fact, I was born in the same block as Bone Thugs and Harmony. He was from Compton. I mean, everything about us was as opposite. I was well-educated, went to college at Ohio University and then at the University of Southern California and Southern California Graduate School. And he basically was educated in the streets of South Central. So here, the two of us formed this unlikely duo and created an empire that I don't think that anyone has come close to touching since that time. And of course, you know, from the day he died and I left Ruthless, of course, there as far as I'm concerned, there really was no more of what we had created there. And Penthouse Players, you know, was one of the first records that we put out. J.J. Fett, Penthouse Players, with I noticed that you didn't mention DJ Quick along with that, but of course he was involved.
Well, hey.
He was involved with...
He has a place in my heart.
Yeah,
in
he
my
was
spirit,
involved with...
He just personally is not in my life.
Yeah, he was involved with bringing Penthouse Players to Easy and myself and to our attention. And, you know, I don't see the guy very often either, you know, every once in a while, but... You know, he was part of that legacy of that time, as you and Player Ham were.
Indeed, indeed. I remember, this is like a brief story. I remember one day came up there to Ruthless. It was storming, raining, and you slid me some ends, and I got to the bank in Beverly Hills, and they didn't even want to cash the check. They were looking at me funny. I had to call you, and you called the bank and, you know, got the funds released for me, and I really appreciate everything. So, like, all these people can say what they want to say about you. You're this, you're that. You know, I've heard every conspiracy theory in the world. And me personally, I don't have that viewpoint or opinion of you. And you've been nothing but real and cool with me. But
well,
also,
I appreciate that.
Man, that's not a problem whatsoever, man, because real is real. What I want to know is, how the hell did you even meet Easy, considering you guys came from two different worlds? Now, I never knew that part of the game. Maybe
okay,
you can explain that to the listeners.
It was about 1986, and I heard about a little scene. I was going through my first divorce. I'm going through my second divorce now, and it's just, I got to tell you, man, it's no fun. But I was going through my first divorce, and I had to, my first wife sort of cleaned me out, and I was sleeping on my mother's couch in Encino, and a friend of mine named Maury Alexander said to me, you know, there's something happening over at McCullough Records. You should go over there. It's a little pressing plant over in Hollywood. So it took me about, I don't know, maybe about 3 months before I finally got over there, and I went over and met a guy named Rudy Pardee, who had the L.A. Dream Team and J.J. Fed. And he was from Cleveland, as I am, and we got along right from the beginning. And here at this little pressing plant, for $1,000, you got 500 records and all the artwork. And let me just tell you some of the artists that were pressing there. There was Egyptian Lover, Bobby Jimmy and the Critters, Rodney Owen Joe Cooley, the World Class Wrecking Crew, MC Hammer, the original OG, Ice-T, all of these people, the LA Dream Team, J.J. Fad, all of these people were pressing it at Mercola Records. And I became friends with a guy that I consider one of the most important figures in early rap, and that's Alonzo Williams from the World Class Wrecking Crew. Now, in the World Class Wrecking Crew, for those of your listeners that don't know, although I'm sure that most of your listeners are very knowledgeable, but in the World Class Wrecking Crew were Dr. Dre and Yella. And then Alonzo had another group called CIA, and in CIA were Ice Cube and Sir Jinx. So Alonzo was a very, very important guy, and he had a club in the inner city called Eve After Dark. And I used to go down there once in a while, and I'd sit at the bar there, you know, being the only white face, of course, in the bar. And I'd sit at the bar and drink and talk to Alonzo, and Alonzo kept telling me about this guy that wanted to meet me named Eric Wright. And I said, what's he doing? He says, well, man, I don't know what he does now, but, you know, the guy was in a past life was reputed to be a drug dealer. Now, I've heard those stories the same as everybody else. I got to tell you, as far as I know, I never knew of Easy dealing any drugs. I saw him give away plenty of smoke to people, but I never saw him sell it. So I said, nah, I don't want to meet that guy, you know. I don't want to draw that kind of attention to what we're doing here. And he just kept bugging me. And finally one day he said to me, you know, Jerry, this guy Eric Wright, he wants to meet you really bad. And he offered me $750 to meet you. He said, now, to be honest with you, he said, I could use the money. And Alonzo, who was my good friend, I said, okay, Alonzo, I'll meet with them. So I gave him a time and place. We were going to meet on the street in front of Mercola at 2:30 on March the 7th of 1987. So I was standing out front in front of Mercola, and up drove this tricked out Suzuki Samurai. And out of this Suzuki Samurai came MC Ren and Eric Wright. And he walked over to me, and I'll never forget, man, the guy had charisma. He had a certain cachet about him that made him different than other people. And the first thing he did was reach in his sock and pull out a roll of money and pay Alonzo the $750. And I said to him, you got something you want me to listen to? And he didn't say one word, not a word. He had those locs on, man, and he just looked at me and handed me a cassette. So we went inside Mercola, and I put the cassette on, and I heard, the first song I heard was Boys in the Hood. Now, remember, I was in my 40s, a white middle-class guy from Cleveland. And he plays me Boys in the Hood. The Boys in the Hood are always hard. You keep talking that shit, and I'm going to pull your car. There ain't nothing in life but to be legit. So I said to myself, whoa. I said, this is a combination of the rebellion of the Rolling Stones, the anger of the Black Panthers, and the poetry of Gil Scott-Heron. I said, for the first time, I think that people in the rest of the country, in places like Kansas and Nebraska and Minnesota, for the first time they're going to understand the problems of our inner city and relate to them. And the next day I called a meeting at an old mob restaurant right around the corner from my office called Martoni's Restaurant on Cahuenga, right next to Shandara there, the Thai food place. And I called a meeting in the back room, and I told everybody that I was going in business with this guy, Eric Wright, and our new company was going to be called Ruthless Records, which Eric had already named. Now, I said to Eric, what does NWA stand for? And he just looked at me and laughed. He said, guess. I said, well, I think it stands for No Whites Allowed, huh, man? And he just laughed, and he played me Straight Outta Compton, which, as you know, starts off Straight Outta Compton, crazy motherfucker named Ice Cube, and a band called Niggas with Attitudes. And I said to myself, whoa.
Controversy
sales. I couldn't believe what I was hearing, man. And you know that the L.A. Times called Straight Outta Compton the most important record of the second half of the 20th century, and that includes Sgt. Pepper and the Beatles and everyone else. I mean, I came from rock and roll, man. I came from R&B and rock and roll, and I'm listening to Straight Outta Compton, and it just blew me away. And that's how I met Eric Wright, also known as Easy Motherfucking E.
Indeed, indeed. You know, we got a couple callers, Ben. I think they would like to say something to you. Hold on 1 second. Caller, you are live, 93.3 FM with Mr. Jerry Heller.
Hey, what's going on, Mr. Heller? How you doing?
All right, man. How are you?
Oh, I'm doing all right, man. I just got one question, man, because I was, you know, I'm into hip hop music. You know, I'm 35, so I'm a little younger than you guys, and you know what I mean. But I came up in the early '80s, the mid '80s, the late '90s, and I was, you know, I do listening to blog radio shows. Like I'm listening to this one, and I seen a show with DJ Yella the other day, and he was talking about how at one point in time the NWA was supposed to tour with Guns N' Roses, but they wanted to pay like $25,000, but you wanted like $50,000 a night or a show or something like that. Is there any truth to that? Like NWA was going to go on tour with Guns N' Roses? Because if you ask me, that could have been the biggest thing of ever at that point in time.
Well, let me give you a little background on that, okay? Because that's a good question. I knew that to make NWA big, like I had with Elton John and Pink Floyd and Journey and Styx and REO Speedwagon and Creedence Clearwater and Marvin Gaye, that everybody would have to buy the record, not just the people that were shopping at Steve Yano's booth, you know, at the Compton Swap Meet down there, you know, at the Rhodium. So I thought that the cutting-edge kids in that day beside the inner-city Swap Meet kids were the white kids that were surfing and skating in Huntington Beach. So I went down to Huntington Beach, and I hung out there for a couple weeks and listened to what they were listening to. Now, remember, this is 1987. Appetite for Destruction had just came out and was on its way to becoming the biggest selling debut record in history. So what were they listening to in Huntington Beach? They were listening to Guns N' Roses. They were listening to Metallica. They were listening to Suicidal Tendencies. And I said, wait a second, man. I said, anybody that buys Appetite for Destruction will buy Straight Outta Compton. I said, this is the exact audience that I'm looking for. And it has no color line, man. I don't care if it's white or black or green or whatever. I said, this is our audience. So if you look at any interview or any video or concert that Metallica or Guns N' Roses did during that period, they were wearing NWA shirts and Straight Outta Compton hats, and you know, they became the biggest fans of NWA, and we actually did some tracks with Slash and with Guns N' Roses, but we really didn't finish those tracks, and then Easy got sick, and of course passed away on March 26th of 1995, which was a tragic thing. So yeah, there's truth. It wasn't about money. It more was about them doing what they had to do and us doing what we had to do, and sooner or later it would have come together.
Can I ask you one more thing? I just want to know, like, do you think that if that tour had it came out, because Guns N' Roses was like the bad boys of rock and roll, and N.W.A. was like the bad boys of hip-hop. Do you think if that tour had it came out, that it would have been, like, I think it would have been the biggest shit ever. You know what I'm saying? Just me personally. But do you think that would have had a major impact, and maybe N.W.A. would have never split up, because it would have been just uncontrollable amounts of money for everybody just to do what they wanted to do?
Well, you know, it's hard to answer that question, because Guns N' Roses did a tour with Metallica, mm-hmm. which became the biggest tour of that time. But I think certainly an NWA Guns N' Roses tour would have been unprecedented, and would have been probably the biggest tour certainly of that era, and would have been instrumental in both groups becoming even bigger than they were. Yeah, I think it would have been a real important tour, and everybody would have made a lot of money. Would they have broken up? I don't know. Remember in the beginning there, this is 1986, 1987, 1988, 1989. These guys were real young. And, I mean, O'Shea still lived at home. I mean, you know, it just was a different time. And as guys get older and they start to mature and they have different influences and they start to draw apart, just like the Jacksons did, you know. It happens to every group, just like the Beatles did.
Right. You know, I was just wondering, because on that interview I heard with Yella, he said that if that tour had happened, Dre probably would have stayed with Ruthless. But I'm thinking, like, with Dre leaving, it probably was a good thing for hip-hop anyway, because he was able to do other things anyway. So.
Yeah, but I would have loved to have seen one more album and one more tour with the group together. But remember that Arabian Prince was an original NWA member.
Mm.
So he was even in the group before, you know, before Ren or Ice Cube.
Wow.
Speaking of that, you know, can I interject? Do you still converse with MC Ren?
I haven't seen MC Ren for a long, long, long time. I've seen Yella a couple of times. I haven't seen Ren. I never, from the day that Ice Cube left the group, I never saw him again. I never saw him at a Laker game, and I go to all the Laker games. I never saw him at a Dodger game. I just never ran into him after that. And, you know, Ren was living at the time, I think, out in
Riverside.
Kind of Corona Hills, yeah. And wow. Yella was living out there. And sort of, you know, guys drift apart, man. You know, and after Easy passed away, I really didn't have a whole lot in common with Yella and Ren, although I got nothing but affection for both of them.
Well, you never had a lot in common with me, but I try my best to keep up with you. You feel me?
Yeah.
Let me say something, man, just to interject. I remember one of my fondest Easy stories, and I really haven't told too many people this, but I remember one day we were all sitting in his Jeep at Skip Sailor Recording Studios. It was me, Quick, Ham, and Easy sitting in the Jeep. And he played No Vaseline by Ice Cube. It hadn't even been released yet. And he said, check this out. And we're listening to that, trying to hold, you know, a straight face. But it's like, wow, man, he's clowning. And Easy didn't flinch. Didn't trip, didn't have no animosity, no hatred. He just listened to it. It's like, man, it means nothing. From that point on, I was like, wow. He took it in stride and didn't really trip at that point. And I thought that was, like, commendable.
If you remember the first version that you heard of No Vaseline, it said, how can you be a nigga for the life crew with a white Jew like Jerry Heller telling you what to do?
Indeed.
And I'm going to shoot that Jew in the temple. A little hard for me to just turn my back on that. So I took it more seriously. But then Cube came out with Black Korea, where, you know, he did the same thing, you know, to another ethnic group, although he didn't single anyone out individually. And I thought, well, maybe he's just doing it to sell records. I don't know. But I never was cool with that. I never felt good about it, man.
Well, yeah, well, I was just tripping off of how easy it really didn't bother him emotionally. He, you know, man, to him, man, it was a part of business. It was a part of business. I remember when he brought us the Bone cassette. It was a cassette. And we listened to that, and he said, man, this is new group we about to sign. And they were rapping so fast, we couldn't even understand what they were saying. And he was telling us, man, they're going to blow. They're going to be the one. Trust me, man, they're going to be the one. And we could not understand a word that they were saying. But he had a vision, just like you did, you know, just like you do. For example, let's talk about this reality show that you have coming up.
Uh-huh.
Form the listeners in regards to that.
Well, there's not too much that I care to say about it yet, but I think it's going to blow the roof off a lot of unanswered questions in the music business. And I think that it'll be probably the biggest show on television since they opened Al Capone's tomb that time on television, you know? And,
exactly.
And I'm doing it, and I'm working on it, and just approved the artwork today, and hope to have it out, you know, within a year. But it's going to be something that's going to be the darling of guys like us that are hip-hop fans. But it's also going to be the Bible, so to speak, of Facebook people, you know?
I'm ready for my cameo. I really didn't want to release the information just yet, but anyway.
Well, I got to tell
stay
you,
tuned,
you got my,
ladies and gentlemen.
You got my word that you're going to be part of that show. You're going to be part of it.
We have another caller. Caller, you are live on 93.3 FM with Mr. Jerry Heller. Hello.
Yo, yo. What's good with you? Tweet Cadillac, Mr. Jerry Heller.
Hello.
Yeah, this Cameo, you remember me? The little guy that came in your office, man, and what's weird about hearing this right now, I got history with all of you guys in separate relations. I grew up watching Penthouse Players become Penthouse Players. I was a little youngster on the corner that I used to let come in the gate and hang out with them. And then I end up meeting Easy, and Easy ended up having me meet Mr. Heller. And when I met Mr. Heller, you was complimenting me on my education of business. And I stayed on that from ever since that day in the office. And then from there, I ended up meeting Mark Palladino, the Edge Recording Studio, who you also managed and signed him to Elton John's Rocket Records. And I've always just had a passion to be an artist, an executive. And I got a request from you to come to the Mint Factory a few months ago to go meet your new group, 28 North.
Right.
And I'm sitting in the club just chilling in the cut. And you came over and was like, hey, kid. And it touched me because for you to know so many people and have such a long history in the record business to still acknowledge a young kid like me, that touched my heart, man. And you was... And that's one thing that I always admired about you, that you never really forgot the little guy. You know what I mean? It's not like you, it's just you never forgot the little guy. You understood what it meant to work hard and try to achieve something and put your energy in a positive fashion. And I just want to say it touched me. And it's an inspiration sitting right here talking to you right now and talking to Tweed, because Tweed's my big homie. He, like, you know, used to rough me up when I was little, getting out of hand and tell me, you know, get your mind right, you know what I mean? And just like a month ago, me and Tweed and Ham, we all chilling, and it's just everything come full circle, man, and I'm still doing the same thing. I ain't changed, and it's just the honor that I've had the privilege of shaking your hand and establishing my own relationship with you in business. And even though I was an artist coming in trying to get a situation, you made me look at it not like I need to be there. Like, you can do this on your own. I just want to say it's an honor. I am very, very appreciative of the door that you opened for urban music and hip-hop for the West Coast. I still believe that Eazy-E and what they did at Ruthless Records would never, never be imitated or copied, because y'all put down a formula that would never change, and y'all maintained a business atmosphere while putting out great records. And that's something that we haven't experienced in the same fashion in a long time, man. We done seen the bright lights and the images of professionalism, but we haven't experienced it the same way that it was done with Ruthless, that the legacy is still living to this day. Everybody is still making moves. Everybody that came through that Ruthless camp is still making some sort of moves within the music business. And I think, I personally feel that when they was working with you, up under you and with you, you did not hide none of the information. You left it there for them to take it and do what they needed to do with it. And I think because of that generous heart and because of that positive spirit, that's why you continue to keep being blessed, why you keep making these powerful moves. And your band 28 North, man, they off the chain. I have to say, sir, you done did it again.
I appreciate that. Now, remember a couple of things about Ruthless. First of all, we had a formula, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And that formula was that we all worked on one record at a time. We weren't working on 20 records at the same time. We worked on one record at a time. We did it to the very best that it could be done, that we could do it. Maybe somebody could have done it better, but I don't think so. Mm. And then we turned it over to the people that put it out.
Mm.
Okay, and I had been able to make white kinds of record deals for the first time for hip-hop artists. So we had the very best deals with Sony and with Atlantic and with ATCO. And, you know, there's somebody that I don't want to forget this, because, you know, if there wasn't an NWA, I think that Above the Law would have been the biggest group in the world.
Oh, man, I forgot.
I think
even
the only thing that stopped them from being the biggest group in the world was the fact that NWA were before them. And I think that Dre probably really has to give a lot of props to 187. You know, that siren sound in the background, you know, and all of those songs that put your teeth, I mean, all those sounds that put your teeth on edge, you know. Those were Hutch's, man.
And that's funny that you mentioned that, because, you know, me and Hutch just finished the whole project together. And, I mean, man, man, that whole legacy. And Hutch,
I got nothing but respect for Hutch. He's a friend of mine.
Man,
I like him a lot. You know, I felt real bad when, you know, when his partner died last year. I think it's been a year and a couple of days now. And there's somebody else that, you know, was around then that we have to give some props to, because very few people understand the part that little 5,000-watt radio station at the top of Alvarado Street played in the history of hip-hop, man.
Yes, sir.
K-Day, the Mac Attack, Julio G, Tony G. I mean,
yes.
You're talking about, you know, we would bring a record over there, and maybe Greg Mack or Julio would say, hey, man, you know, this is great, but I can't play this and I can't play that. And we'd run back to Easy's mother's garage, and Easy would do what he had to do, or Dre would do what he had to do, and we'd bring it back and they'd put it on the air. And remember that this is the only radio station in America that played hip-hop, man. Nobody else.
And where
little
was
later,
it located,
little
sir?
Later, this, little later, the station, little later, the station in Dallas, DJ play, so DJ started to play a little bit, and then there was a station out in Riverside, 99.1 or 3 or 5 or something.
KDDI.
And, you know, another important guy was our promotion guy, man, Doug Young. I mean, Doug Young would get up at 5 o'clock in the morning, and he'd go from San Diego to Orange County, to Los Angeles, to Ventura, to Santa Barbara, and he'd work his way right up the coast, man. And he wouldn't come back until he had hit every station, you know, that there was to hit, and every club that there was to hit, man. And, you know, Doug Young was one of the really important guys. And, you know, he did go move on to Death Row afterwards. And, you know, which, of course, didn't make me happy, but he had to do what he had to do. But Doug Young to this day is still a very close friend of mine. And Julio G, who's now with, the Cypress Hill. Yeah, he's now with Cypress Hill. Is still, you know, these guys are still my good friends, man. You know, and also, you know, when Easy died, Easy was a firm believer in Latino hip-hop, man. And we did the first record with Brownside, with Toker and Brownside. And that's the direction that we were sort of moving in at the time that Easy passed away.
I just want to ask one question in conclusion, Mr. Heller. Do you think the record business right now is at the same state that it was in back in them days because the internet is such a new vehicle to exploit the material?
There is no more music business as we knew it in those days. The business is totally different, okay? The only thing that you use radio for is to be able to go out and tour, because the money is in concerts and merchandising. There's no more real money left in the music of the music business.
Okay. Well taken. Wow. It's an honor.
And
thank you, big homie Tweed.
Hey, man, no problem, sir, man. Make sure you tell a hater, tell a player, 93.2 Tweed FM. I got your back, your front, and your side, sir.
That's what's up. Take it easy.
There we go.
Good speaking with you, sir, Mr. Heller.
Thank you, man.
Let's take another caller. Caller, you are live on 93.2 Tweed FM. Ism. Hello.
Hello?
Yes, sir.
Hey, what's up, Tweed?
Hey.
Jeffrey Heller, how you doing, man? It's been like 5 years since I stopped seeing you, man. This is Jarray. Jarray.
You know, it's hard for me to hear this one, Tweed. Maybe you should repeat what he's saying.
He said that he met you 5 years ago.
Okay.
Maybe you want to take it off of a speaker, sir, and you might be able to be a little bit clearer.
Okay, can you?
Yeah, that's a little better.
Okay. How you doing? This is Jarray from New Orleans. It's been like a couple of years since I talked to you.
Okay.
But,
Tweed,
you're breaking
up
still.
I can't, yeah, he's broken up.
You're breaking up, sir.
Yeah.
You're breaking up.
What I do is I call back from another phone.
All right, beautiful. 93.2 Tweed FM. Caller, you are live with Mr. Jerry Heller.
Come give me all you love.
Hey, that's not going to work. Okay, let's talk about 28 North.
Okay.
How did you discover them? I understand they're from Pittsburgh. Actually was invited to a concert on Sunset, but I couldn't make it that night. But I had the pleasure of listening to their music. How did you discover them, and what's the forecast, and what's planned in the future?
Okay, I was on vacation in Miami, which is my favorite place, the most beautiful women in the world there. They got all those South American, gorgeous South American women there, and I'm going through a divorce, so it's perfect for me. But I was at a hotel called the Eden Rock, and I was in the pool, and there were some guys there that recognized me, and they said, "Hey, Jerry Heller, Jerry Heller," and one of the guys in the pool said, "You're Jerry Heller." He says, "You know, we're 28 North," and one of the guys is from Pittsburgh. The other three guys are from Cleveland. And they said, "We got this tape, and we want you to hear it. You know, we got the CD, we want you to hear it." And I listened to it and loved them. And they actually came out here in a school bus and in a van, and we recorded an album, and we didn't like it, and we went back and did it again with Gavin McLeod, who did U2 and a bunch of other big rock and roll acts. And I just made a deal for them with Red River, which is distributed by RED, which is a subsidiary of Sony. And we'll have the record, will be out the first quarter of 2014. And really, it's the only group, really, that I'm managing now. And I think they're fantastic. And next time, I hope that you come down and see them, Tweed. You know, you sit at my table and we'll talk about old times. But they're the best musicians. Their songs are great and they sing great. And they're young guys from, you know, from the Midwest. And they got that good, solid work ethic, you know?
And that's a beautiful thing. We have another caller. Caller, you are live on 93.2 FM. Ism with Mr. Jerry Heller. What's your name? Where you calling from? Hello?
Tweet.
Yes, sir.
Hey, Tweet. Yeah,
yes, sir.
Jerry again.
Y'all
can hear me?
Okay, how you doing today? Yes, sir. We can hear you clear.
Okay, yeah. Okay, this is Jerry again. It's been a minute since I talked to you, Jerry Heller. It's been like about 5 years.
Yeah.
I just got three questions for you because I know, you know, I think I got a lot of people that want to ask you some questions. The first question I have for you, how you feel about that hologram of EV?
I think that, boy, that's a really good question, man. I think it's disrespectful. I think that I don't feel good about it because he's not here, man. You know, I just think it's exploitive, and I don't blame the guys from Guerrilla Union, you know, because the guys that do Rock the Bells, because I think they're cool. And but I just think that the people that are responsible shouldn't have allowed that to happen, and I personally don't feel good about it.
Yeah, because when I seen it, I was like, oh, wow. I mean, the next thing you know, they're going to be exploiting other artists that's still alive and have their holograms up there because, you know, they really can't do it no more.
Yeah, I just think it's disrespectful, man.
Yeah, because that's the same way I took it. Also, well, I think somebody already asked this question, how you feel like, not just the part of the rap business, but how do you feel about the music that's coming out? Like when you see people that's imitating the image but not really doing what they say they do in their music.
Well, the way I've always felt was this, okay? When someone would call me on the phone, someone I knew, and they would start to tell me about an artist, you know, and they would say, you know, he sounds just like Bruce Springsteen, man. I said, well,
yeah.
Bring me Bruce Springsteen, you know. I don't want an imitation. You know, I want the original. You know, I want somebody
yeah.
that's unique and has a unique sound. And the minute they say that he sounds like somebody, you know, that's just a turnoff to me personally. So, you know, that's the way I feel about that. And I got to tell you, for me, see, I'm in the music business, what's called a purist, you know. I just believe, I believe in the music, man. And if the music is there, the kids will discover it. And, you know, nowadays, music doesn't tell a story. The greatest album, Straight Outta Compton, Ethel Frizzagin, 100 Miles and Running, it takes a nation of millions. I mean, those albums were produced by one person, not 17 or 19 people, and told a story. 100 Miles and Running, man, I mean, it tells a story. And, you know, the artwork was part of the selection process of buying the record. And I think that what we've done is we've enabled iTunes, along with the technology, to really ruin the music business as we've known it.
You're right. Because I got to take my hat off to you because right now, well, I just made 38. Back in the days, before NWA came out, I wasn't really a big rap fan because, you know, I was breakdance. You know, we was used to listening to, like, just music and breakdancing. So when y'all came out with them songs, it was like, you know, I'm from New Orleans.
Uh-huh.
So when JJ, I'm from New Orleans. So
yeah.
Like when JJ Flag came out, I was like, okay, damn, they sound good. I like the beat. And then when y'all dropped NWA, you know, that, you know, there was no more saying, okay, I don't want to hear rap no more, because I was used to, like, stuff like you said earlier, like Bruce Springsteen. You had the George Michaels and stuff like that, because that's stuff that was being played on the radio, because they wasn't really playing rap. You had to know somebody who knows somebody to get a hold of those tapes. And then once I got my hands on them, I still been listening, you know, ever since them days.
See, what NWA did was, I didn't like East Coast rap because it wasn't because it wasn't melodic. I was always a melody kind of guy. And then not only did NWA come along and Above the Law and the Ruthless groups, which were melodic because of Dr. Dre. Dr. Dre's beats are still the greatest in the world. But it had a sense of humor, man. They didn't take themselves too seriously, you know?
It was fun.
They were fun, man, even though they were talking about, you know, fuck the police and stuff. I mean, still, they had fun doing it, and you could tell that they were having fun, and you could dance to it. And that's why I wasn't into a lot of East Coast rap, because it wasn't melodic.
Yeah, they always practice, you know, they'll rap, they'll do a song, and then they'll talk bad about a person. Because I remember a song KRS-One did. He said, I bet you can't spell Boogie Down North Production. So back then I couldn't, so I didn't want to listen to it no more. And that just threw me off. So, you know, I was like, well, I don't want to hear nobody dissing me. And you're right, I can't spell it. You know, that was back then. Also, the last question for you, if somebody wants to get in contact with you, like with the music business, because I know you still, well, from what I've been hearing, you're still doing it. How do they get you a demo, because, you know, with this internet stuff or whatever?
You know, I answer every inquiry on Facebook, I answer. So if you just become my friend on Facebook and then tell me what you want, I'll answer you.
I read it.
And if you all, you know, I get lots of responses. Couple of thousand a day, I'll listen to one. You know, just send me your best thing. After you tell me it's coming, I'll look for it, I'll listen to it, and I'll give you whatever input that I can. But I answer every single one that's respectful. If it's not respectful, man, then I don't. Then I just block you, man.
Okay.
There
we go. Okay,
there, man. Let me take another caller, man. Hold on one second. Yes, sir. Caller, you are live on 93.3 FM. Hello. Okay. Well, look, I'm retired right about now. Rap kind of discouraged me, Mr. Heller. I have to say that in a real way. I wanted to continue, but like how you say, the music business is basically done. So I do understand that everybody must reinvent themselves and make a transition. My question is, on an entry level, how can an artist create an impact in today's society without exploiting themselves or being just a regular old gimmick?
Okay,
what advice can you give an upcoming artist that idolizes your career? The career of Easy, the career of all these Tupac, all the other artists, what can you tell them that could give them at least a little bit of motivation?
Okay,
it's
on one hand, the internet, you have access to literally hundreds of millions of people, and it doesn't cost anything. So on one hand, it's very inexpensive to establish some kind of impact without it costing anything. On the other hand, so far nobody has found out the secret of how to turn that into dollars and cents. So we have this media here, the internet, that allows you for free to expose your music. But on the other hand, we haven't yet learned how to monetize that. So I think it's a difficult time in the business. But then we have guys like Tweed and these underground stations that are really the voice of the people. And, I mean, I think that that these guys now are the voice of our inner cities. And that's what, you know, that's who we have to support, because they're supporting the music.
Indeed. I tell my listeners all the time, you don't have to support me, because I know I have haters, just support the music. I noticed maybe a few weeks ago, Jimmy Kimmel, they did a viral video whereas a Caucasian female was trying to do the twerk dance, and she caught on fire, and it, like, blew up. Nobody even knew that it was a publicity stunt. But it worked. I mean, it was very visible. I mean, I don't know if it's the right thing to do by coming up with a hell of a gimmick to shock the world and then try to capitalize on something like that. I don't know if I could condone it or suggest that to be done, but you know how they say, out of sight, out of mind. You have to do something spectacular to get noticed nowadays, because everybody and their mama want to rap. I always say, if you shake a tree, 100 rappers will fall out. And that's so real, because, like, back in the days when you guys signed us, it wasn't that many rappers. I mean, people was camping out in front of record labels, you know, just to pass a cassette. And now it's like a rapper in every city.
You remember that party,
you know?
You remember that party we threw for you guys at that pool room?
Oh, my God.
The Hollywood Athletic Club, man.
Yes, sir. It was a beautiful event.
Yeah, that was great, huh? Great.
I really understood that I was in showbiz, and I had to represent a certain image. I had all these big celebrities. Even Sean Connery was there. James Bond was at that party.
I'll tell you something, man. You had to give Brian Turner credit. Brian
yes,
Turner.
Yes, sir.
Believed. He didn't understand the music, so he believed in Jerry Heller. And he listened to what I said, because I had history with him. He had seen me discover Pink Floyd. He had seen me discover Elton John. He had seen me discover Creedence Clearwater. So he knew, you know, when I told him something, that it was something to listen to. You know, when he put out Straight Outta Compton, remember, the record that he put out before that was the California Raisins, man.
Exactly. That
singing
was his
I
first
heard it
biggest
through,
hit.
Singing I Heard It Through the Grapevine.
Yeah,
so
I remember the first time I went to the
Brian
Priorities
Turner,
building
I give
and
Brian
saw
Turner
the Raisins
credit off.
And like, wow.
Yeah, I give Brian Turner a lot of credit. We're not great friends. We don't see each other, you know. We're both white and we're both Jewish, and we, you know, we got no conspiracy, man. But I got respect for the guy. He was a really good record man, and he did what Easy needed him to do, and I got him to do it. And really, that's what teamwork is.
Exactly. Speaking of teamwork, I have another caller. This is my first string team player, live on 93.3. The one and only
Hello?
Mr. P. Ham.
Hello?
Hey, player.
Yes, sir.
This is
D Baby. How you doing, D Baby? You're live on 93.3 FM.
Yeah. Hey, I wanted to ask Jerry a question. How you doing, Jerry?
Okay.
I wanted to know. I'm a big fan of Penthouse Players. You know. I want to know why they didn't come out with another album, you know?
You know, Tweed can probably answer that better than me, but, you know, like I said, we only did one record at a time at Ruthless. And
yeah.
Penthouse Players, PPC, was really... In fact, I still got some of those baseball caps, Tweed. So it was really one of our first records, and then Easy moved on to something... He moved on to something else, but maybe... Maybe Quick had something to do with it. I don't really remember it that clearly. Tweed probably remembers it better than I do.
It's been 20-plus, man.
Yeah.
Anyway, it really ain't about Penthouse right now. It's always about Penthouse as far as I'm concerned. But tonight, man, we're going to keep the focus on Mr. Heller. My other question, Mr. Heller, that I want to ask you, you know... I saw the other day that you had like a little spat with TMZ, and you kind of checked him, you know. I mean, you was real, you had poise and all of that, but you were kind of disgruntled with their approach to things. Did you kind of straighten that out with them?
Absolutely not. And I, you know,
wow.
And I still, I think that when you have a public trust like that, you have an obligation to tell the truth. So they printed something that said that Eazy-E had a house with a room painted black that was foreclosed on, and everything that they said in that article was a lie. Eazy-E never had a house foreclosed on, and that reflects badly on him, and I took that personally. And the house that was painted black was in Calabasas, which right next door to mine and Dre's. The house that, you know, somebody spray painted his house and said, "Nigger, go home," that was in Westlake Village. And there was another reference to a house that was in Norwalk. So, I mean, everything. Oh, and then the last thing was that this house that was foreclosed on, which wasn't built until 2006 by a family member of his, and he died in 1995. So everything they said was an absolute lie. So I called over there and they wouldn't take my call, okay? And then I called a friend of mine who was the president of one of the major networks, and he made them call me. And I told them that how wrong he was, that they were, and I wanted a retraction, you know, on his behalf. So then a couple of days later, a guy calls me back and he said, "I'm so-and-so and I'm the head of this department, and what we're going to do is we're just going to drop, we don't print retractions." Well, what fucking arrogance, man, for a guy saying to you that they don't believe that they could ever do something wrong. The only person that doesn't do anything wrong, man, is God, you know? So, you know, who do they think they are to say to me on behalf of my business associate and best friend and son, really, they could tell all these lies about him and then they can't admit that they were wrong? They can't even say, "Hey, man, we were wrong and we're sorry." Instead, they just dropped the news article. Well, that's like being a little bit pregnant, man. Once you've done the damage, you've done the damage. I can't forgive it. I came out of a restaurant that I go to all the time, and of course all the TMZ guys were there, and there's a couple of TMZ guys that really know rap, okay? I mean, they know everything about hip-hop, and normally I'm real friendly with them, and instead I just went off on them, and they, you know, they videoed it, and I guess that's when you heard it or saw it or whatever. But I just think I would never watch TMZ again, that they don't even have enough regard for their audience to, number one, check the stories to see if they're true or not, and that they could say that about my partner who wasn't there to defend himself, man.
Exactly.
I
well, you checked
I really resent that, man.
You definitely checked him in a real way. And, man, what I've learned that a lot of these rap cats all over the world, not just in West Coast, I wish they could come together, be a little bit more unified. Hopefully one day that could actually happen. I really don't see it in the near future. I pray for that. But
where do you see my realities? Where do you see my reality, showman?
I'm already knowing. I'm gonna be on it. I'm there. I'm already knowing.
It's gonna blow your mind, man. It's gonna blow your mind.
Man, let me tell you, man. I got something. Man, I got something, man. Let me get into some music because this is what we do at 93.3. You guys stay tuned. Tweet Cadillac, Jerry Heller, 93.3 FM ism. We'll be right back at you after this. Y'all better be glad that I retired.
Audio.
I'm older now. The future of this business is with guys like you, and you got a responsibility, and I expect you to live up to it, man.
I plan to.
So you guys keep up the good work, and anything I could do to support, you know, enterprises like yours, I'm there, man. All you got to do is call me, and I want to talk to you because you definitely will be on the, in this reality show that I'm going to do. You got my
word. And it's greatly appreciated. It's greatly appreciated, and I never doubted you for one reason, man, for one time, for one notion, man, and I was prepared to do battle with you because you've been nothing but true to me. I try to be true to those that are true to me, regardless of contrary beliefs. I'm down with those that are down with me, but I have to keep moving, and I really kind of thought that you would be proud of me, you know, because I kept going. And I did something. You know, I'm not a slacker. I'm motivated. I have an old saying that you can't motivate a monkey. Either he's going to climb trees like monkeys do, or he's going to lay down under it with a banana. And I've never been that type of guy. I'm a go-getter. I'm going to make something out of myself. I'm going to leave a legacy because I learned from the best. So I appreciate you. I can't wait to be on the reality show. I can't wait to talk to you, and if you ever want to come back to 93.2 FM, you have the key. It's a done.
Anytime you need me, you let me know, and I'll be talking to you again soon. Thanks, Tweed.
I got you, sir. Thank you so much.
Okay.
93.3 FM, the only station playing lowrider oldies, R&B, and all in between. I need y'all to go tell a hater to tell a player. And if you a hater, still tell a player. Because you can't stop a high-speed soul train, y'all. Please believe that. 93.3 FM. Ha. 93.3 FM is. Did I mention Sunday night show, man? I call it the Sunday Sunset. Will be none other than Mr. Steve Arrington from Slave. Make sure to tune in, y'all. Don't touch that knob. This is my day job.
You just go from man to man. I just don't seem to understand why you're so very hard to take. You sweet sticky thing. If I could slow you down sometime, I'd like to try and change your mind. You're really not the one to blame. You sweet sticky thing. Thank you.
Point Tweed FM Ism, the only station playing funkadelic music with the Temptations, Lowrider, R&B oldies, and all in between. Your host, Tweed Cadillac. I'm the good reverend, saying God bless you, and you will never fade the peace.
The Reverend Calvin, come up. The Holy Tabernacle Church, 39th Street Denomination. Birthday celebration goes out to Igor, the Chico from the Ukraine. No right oldies, R&B and all in between. 93.3. At the knees. Thursday, September 26th, the legendary group, Black Ivory. Don't turn around, y'all. Sunday night, September 29th, Angelo Barefoot Pookie, original from Crips to Christ, gonna be in the building. October 3rd, Ms. Adina Howard, followed by Chico DeBarge, Foster Silvers, Stephanie Mills, the only station playing lowrider oldies, R&B, and all in between. You don't get no spoofer than this, y'all. Only thing I can say tonight, I want to thank Mr. Jerry Heller for blessing my platform tonight. All my listeners, I want to thank you for tuning in. I got you like you got me. I am for the people, I'm with the people, so please go tell your people. It ain't gonna get no smoother than this, man. How could you not picture me, bro? Please remember, whatever you do today can dictate tomorrow. Don't jump in the game if you ain't a player, baby. Love yourself if don't nobody else do. Make sure to treat others like you want them to treat your mama. people out there, man, that send me those radio drops, man. I appreciate you for appreciating me. Thank you. Mr. Boots Rothschild out of Philly. Flex Sorelli out of Central LA. Sham Rockets out of Riverside. Billy Jackson out of Atlanta, Georgia. Climax, the list goes on. I keep talking, like I said, it's gonna look like I'm bragging. Remember, you cannot build a reputation on what you're gonna do. You gotta do something. You might not can change the direction of the wind, but you can change your sails to reach your destination. If you give up or lay down, you finna lose. Be smarter than the fifth grader. Treat others like you want them to treat your mama. I'm out, man. I'm finna go get me a beverage, man. Holler back Sunday night, Steve Arrington live in the building. We finna get stellar funk. We finna slide with Slave. 93.Tweed FM. Ism, baby. Tweed Cadillac.